Thy kingdom come. Doubtless, the kingdom of God is come upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thy kingdom come is the third petition of the Pater, the Our Father, which we consider this third Sunday of Lent. The word kingdom comes up four times between the epistle and the gospel, twice for God and twice for Satan. Maybe you could do something about that, breaking the tie, I mean. Divided kingdoms fall. But what's a kingdom, and how does it come? During World War II, the Air Force of the Third Reich, that's the German word for kingdom or empire, their Air Force bombed in England the House of Commons at Westminster, demolishing it. The very next morning, with classic stiff upper lip the British like to show, they determined to rebuild according to the original plan. Unfortunately, no one could find it. The blueprints had perhaps perished in the flames. But as it happened, way back in 1882, a famous architect was cleaning out his files and distributed a number of old blueprints to his young assistants. He didn't exactly want to throw them out, yet he wanted to be rid of them to make more space in his office. One of those draftsmen was still alive during that war, and he found a set of architect's drawings for Commons in his attic. He wasn't looking for them. He was just looking for extra paper that he might contribute to the war effort. But he found them, the original plans. The beleaguered British were delighted. Now they could rebuild according to plan. Plan. There is always a plan for any kingdom, whether it be of God or of Satan. In the gospel, kingdom does not refer to a territory. Well, it used to be actually ruled by a king, but today we would say once ruled over by a king who's or a queen who's now a figurehead, like the United Kingdom, which is today more like the Magic Kingdom. The word means the office or the rule of a king, not a territorial country. This rule is the rule of order and of right, the sense of being correct, that's the idea, or according to the plan. It comes from regula, that gives us our word ruler, including ruler as the straight piece of wood by which we measure and make out plans. All these words have a sense of affirming or establishing order with its connotation, justice. So, kingdom or regnum means public order according to plan. So when we pray, Thy kingdom come, we are saying, send us your kingdom, establish your rule among us here on earth according to the blueprints, according to the plan, and unite us all under your rule in heaven. And you're the King, Lord. Do it your way. Thy will be done. Only rule over us. What is God's plan? It is for a threefold kingdom, and the first of these is the natural kingdom, the created universe, which, being irrational, perfectly obeys God's plan. It's only those who have the use of reason who don't, which is most unreasonable. But God's plan with nature, the weather, the stars, the sun, water, the rest, God's plan manifests his providence and his power amongst us, whether it be to bless us or to chastise and warn us. Nature always obeys. You know, in all this plague talk, very few have mentioned the truth underlined in one of the church's concluding prayers for the anti-plague procession they used to have way back when. Those are the prayers we're doing after Mass today. May mortal hearts recognize that these scourges proceed from thine indignation and cease only when thou art moved to mercy. Consider our sins. 3,000 died yesterday. Nobody said a word about it. Could there be a more unnatural sin to cry to heaven for vengeance than that a mother should kill her own child in the womb? 1 million are slated for this death this year. We live on borrowed time, and somehow we expect that life should just resume and go on as normal. One of these days, it will not, and not just because of abortion. Consider the government-sponsored and mandated immorality, how that our country is gone pagan and with all the wars and all the rest. The only thing that we can say, surveying the scene, is to pray with Daniel in Babylon, all that thou hast done to us in true judgment hast thou done, O Lord. Second, there's the supernatural kingdom, and that in turn has three parts. First, the church militant here upon earth. Through her, Jesus Christ is meant to reign on earth as king. And this is supremely expressed in the Mass, in which we are all of us united in Christ in our faith, and we subject ourselves in adoration before the Father with the Son made man. That's the plan. But our Lord says the kingdom of God is within. The second kingdom is in our hearts, first by grace, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And this is shown by the spiritual perfection of the members of the church. And then finally, you see it on the outside, the avoidance of sin at all costs. This results in making this world a better place. Remember that nice little children's song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine"? In effect, that's how St. Paul ends today's epistle. And it shines by charity, the keeping of the commandments, all the virtues, but especially the respect for hard work and sacrifice and respect for poverty. This it is which arrests the tendency towards paganism, which is now gone crazy, self-indulgence or sensuality, luxury, with the money grubbing that goes along with it. Oh, and national hatreds, or any excessive worry about one's body or one's health, as though that were everything. So, does God reign in our hearts? Well, if you're in the kingdom, he does. And you do subject yourself, senses and affections and fears, all of you, to the king. Servire regnare est. To serve him is to reign. Remember that. Thy kingdom come. And come it will, in heaven and at the end, here upon earth. There will be then no more confusion, no more organized opposition. All will be peaceful and tranquil. Body and soul are meant to glow in glory. And those who will not have it must glow in the embers of hell. This should be our preoccupation, our longing desire. This should be our plan, not every worry and fear sown among us by our masters and their media. They're part of the other kingdom. Don't kid yourself. That kingdom is not the supernatural, but purely natural and against nature, as opposed to God, the organized forces of naturalism, Father Fahey calls it in a felicitous phrase. We don't need God, or there is no God, or now and again we trot out a God of our making. But make no mistake, appearances to the contrary notwithstanding, they are not divided. They are deeply united, and that's why they are winning for now. And right now, how? Well, there's that ex-mayor of Chicago, his name is Rahm Emanuel. And he, like his former boss, Barack Hussein Obama, both of them disciples of the communist revolutionary organizer, Saul Alinsky, well, this Emanuel said, never let a serious crisis go to waste. It is an opportunity to do things you thought you could never do. You accomplish far more with fear than by force. In Saul Alinsky's wisdom, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. And that's how a mysterious illness with flu-like symptoms, whose effects on most people are minor, has been changed into a new black death, provoking an unprecedented and pretty much unopposed worldwide panic. Over an illness whose effects are dwarfed each year by the statistics of the flu season. Fear, not force, is their secret weapon. Roosevelt, FDR, was a wicked man, but as wicked men will, he had a way with words. Have they forgotten what he said? The only thing we have to fear is the fear itself. He said that at his inauguration on March 4th, 1933. Today, poor, panicked public, left dazed by the media onslaught, demoralized at this next step in the plan, infantilized, looking to government for salvation, hoarding toilet paper for security, and looking to the rest of the lemmings for consolation as they crowd together at the cliff. Pray to God to pardon our iniquities, to spare us over to another day. Pray for God's kingdom to come today on earth as it is in heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.